That is essentially unpayable at this point. Now, I'm not suggesting that faculty salaries are the reason for the surging costs in higher education. That's another issue. But I think it's the question of awareness here that we're trying to raise with the campaign.
Pam Brown, talk about how the student debt issue relates to Occupy Wall Street, the whole movement.
Right. Well, I think the student debt issue is actually incredibly critical to the underlying ideas behind Occupy Wall Street. Occupy Wall Street has attacked the inequality in our social system widely, and student loans are a critical juncture where that inequality is developed. If you take a look, you can see that students go into this debt generally before they're even of legal drinking age. So students are incurring huge amounts of debt before they're even allowed to drink. So when you think about it, it's really crazy. And this debt carries with them an entire lifetime. Over the course of the 90s, all consumer protections were stripped away. You cannot go bankrupt. You cannot go bankrupt from private or public loans. And our government has actually enabled that system to occur.
And the racial dimensions of this?
Well, if you see, CUNY students are protesting right now. CUNY is really an interesting—
City University of New York
is a really interesting place because it actually graduates more African-American students than all of the historically black colleges combined. So when you increase tuition at a location like CUNY, what actually occurs long-term is increased inequality. This is part and parcel with the shifting burden that we've seen over the last 30 years, where the costs of education are now borne by students, are now borne by individuals rather than the public, which is how that system used to be. In fact, CUNY was actually a free school up until, I believe, it was 1976.
We're going to have to leave it there. I thank you both for being with us. The website that you've developed?
It's OccupyStudentDebtCampaign.org.
Pam Brown and Andrew Ross of New York University and the New School, thanks for being with us. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen. Happy birthday, Steve Martinez and Dina Guster. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, I'm Bob Longman with your WUSB concert billboard for Monday, November 28th. Brand New will be at the Paramount in Huntington at 8 p.m. Your WUSB concert billboard for Wednesday, November 30th. As I Lay Dying will be at the Paramount in Huntington at 8 p.m. Markita Irglova of The Swell Season will be at the Bowery Ballroom in Manhattan at 9 p.m. Bears, 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 Bears and Homeboy Sandman will be at the University Cafe on the Stony Brook University campus December 1st, 8:30 p.m. as part of Stony Brooklyn. Your concert billboard for Thursday, December 1st. David Archuleta will be at the New York Community Bank Theater in Westbury at 8 p.m. Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band will be at Madison Square Garden at 7:30 p.m.
This has been today's Concert Billboard. Tune in each day to hear where your favorites are playing or maybe try something different. The online Concert Billboard at WUSB.FM has schedules for months ahead so you can know what to look forward to. And look for WUSB Concert Billboard Group on Facebook for any last-minute shows. The WUSB Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. Tonight we're going to go back in time a little bit as Carl and myself welcome the new year from the streets of Berlin. And this show, by the way, was recorded on, of all things, a BlackBerry. Let's listen.
We're here at Brandenburg Gate with a fudge ton of Germans and Well, E, what is your assessment of the situation as it stands now?
I'd just like to clarify, we're not actually at Brandenburg Gate. We're about maybe a kilometer or so away from it. We're right next to the urine section, I believe, is the best way to describe this. It's where everybody goes to the gate and urinates. And for that reason, there seems to be a wide open space near there, as opposed to past the little tents that are selling things where everybody is packed in like sardines. So we're actually in a pretty good place. We're standing on some snow. It's a little bit slippery, and people are quietly urinating to the left. All the huge crowd is to the right. In front of us is Brandenburg Gate, where all the New Year's festivities, I guess, are centered. Behind us for quite a ways are crowds of people just going all the way back. We just walked through here, not thinking we'd ever get this far. And, well, according to the clock on the huge screen TV right in front of us, it's 23:09.
Yeah, we're 9 minutes into the last hour of the year. And, the main throng of people is on this street. And let me tell you, it's like, it's warmed up here in Berlin a little bit. And so the street is, like, really slushy, and it's all this brown, slushy, watery muck.
Yeah.
But nobody seems to notice. They're just sort of filling up their plastic cups and getting some stiff drinks and sort of just ignoring it, and there's just a ton of people out here.
This is so unlike anything in the States, because in the States you wouldn't be allowed to drink anything, and here everybody's drinking something.
Yeah, you were telling me that, how Times Square is like completely alcohol-free during an event like this. It's apparently they've got to do that to control the crowd.
You can't bring alcohol in, you can't bring any bags in, you can't bring your coat in, you got to leave that behind. You just got to stand there in your regular clothes in the middle of the street, and that's that.
Yeah,
I'm joking. You can wear your coat, but it's just not fun anymore, which is why I don't do it. That's why I go overseas. It's more laid back here, and you know, there's more cops here than I saw last couple of times I've been here. I've never actually been in this section before for New Year's, but I've never seen this many cops in one section. Is that guy throwing up? What's going on there? It's a whole circle of people in front of us doing so. Oh, I think someone dropped something. Maybe a contact lens.
Or, I don't know, they're smoke or something?
Yeah, they dropped something important, that's for sure. And they're looking for it with their phone. They're using the light from the phone to scan the ground. Could that guy's pants be any lower?
Yeah.
Standing down in front of us?
It's really popular. I think pop stars in America have, like, started this trend, or maybe it was the vice versa. Europeans.
Oh, man, it's so split.
Started the trend. Yeah, whoa. These guys, they wear, like, the smallest pair of Levi's or some kind of jeans, and then they wear it below their behind. Now, I remember when I was in school, we wore big pants, and we would wear them sort of low, maybe on our behind. This is different, though. It's a much tighter, a much smaller pair of jeans. And God, everybody, it's just underwear.
Yeah,
you know,
really.
You see a belt and then like a whole mass of underwear.
It's not even boxes and briefs.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. It's just one of the many things you might notice out here.
They found what they're looking for. They're standing upright again.
Okay. Yeah. Enough of that. Between the people peeing on the fence and these trendy young folks with their pants falling off. God, I mean, I can relate. I was stylish back there. You know, I don't want to complain too much. It's okay, fine. It looks very stylish.
It's a German thing.
Very European, and maybe we need more of that in the States. I don't know. Okay, I don't want to be curmudgeonly, but yeah, I don't know. It's a big party out here. I'm glad we're off to the side a little bit.
Cocktails, right, immediately at this little booth here, or get a beer next to that, or some bratwurst perhaps. It's all kinds of things we can get.
Yeah, I don't want to get inebriated.
No.
Because I feel like there's too many variables that we're going to have to contend with trying to get out of here.
It's good to have the advantage. And, you know, I feel at this point I should mention what happened to me as I was going to one of those two checkpoints we went through. Second checkpoint. It wasn't my fault, all right? It wasn't my fault. The guy behind me, he had apparently was a bit inebriated, and he was holding his beer really close to me, and the guy wanted to, like, do the old pat-down, so I stuck my arms out, and the guy was standing so close to me that when I stuck my arms out, his beer... just when I did that, now I hit somebody else with their beer.
Oh
my God.
We're going to have to move. Let's move over here.
No,
let's walk. No.
Hey, I hit... I'm not going to actually do it again.
All right.
I stuck my arms out. I hit his beer. You saw it. I just saw his face afterwards. He looked disappointed.
Right.
His beer went all over his coat, apparently.
Right.
And I was... We actually moved
I think it was red wine.
Oh, Lord, that's a tragedy on two ends then.
Yeah.
From what you said, it was a good idea to move fast into the crowd so that he would not catch up.
Yeah, I was like,
angry he was.
Let's go. Let's get in there. Yeah.
And I'm wearing a Chinese rabbit hat, so I'm quite kind of distinctive in the crowd. I could be easily found.
Yes.
And I'm just hoping now that he'll never see me again.
Good and God, if people don't run into you out
here. People, you know, I have trouble walking in Germany. You're walking down the street, right?
Right.
And somebody goes in front of you and then just stops. You know, and it's like that seems to happen to me all the time, where people just go in front of you and then they don't move anymore, and you must either run into them or you have to do a quick maneuver around them. And it's, I don't get it. I just don't mesh well with walkers here. I'm a New Yorker, so I walk fast, walk around people.
Right, but right, right.
It's like they're trying to trip you up sometimes, and good Lord, all you can do to like not be victimized by this.
It turns into these mini scuffles that you don't want to get into.
No, it's not really a scuffle because there's no antagonism. People don't get angry at the same things we get angry at. But it's kind of annoying when people just aren't really thinking about anybody around them when they're moving down the street.
So what they've got here is these vendors all along the side, literally like a mile or two of these,
yeah.
These like, we walk in and there's all these like party tents playing different music, and there's a Ferris wheel sort of in the middle, and I'd say we're at the halfway point or the 60% mark, and then up at the very end is Brandenburg Gate.
Yeah. You realize that it goes beyond that, too, into the east.
Right.
Probably as big a distance as what we walked already.
Oh, with people?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well...
The East Berliners are looking at this direction as well, I think. I haven't been there.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but okay. I want to mention what they've got here. They've got massive screens, because just like a political rally or something huge, you know, you might see in D.C. or something. There's these screens and audio systems so that, you know, we couldn't get any further up. And we're still, I'd say, several hundred yards away.
Well, I think we could have pushed more, but it became unpleasant at that point. And I tell you, we got a lot closer than I thought we ever would to Brandenburg Gate.
Yeah. I mean, pretty close. But so there's one screen here. I imagine there's a couple more up there. There's also one behind us, right in front of the Ferris wheel in the middle. And a lot of speakers, I gather, for the main stage. But we're hearing kind of a mix right now. I don't know how many different clubs there are around us, but we're hearing, you know, one bar playing one music and the thumping of some other music.
For some reason, we keep hearing the same song. We keep hearing Country Road by John Denver. We've heard it twice already. Why is that a popular song in Germany? I mean, I don't get it. It's not. It's a country song. It's from the 70s, and it's got to do with West Virginia. What is the appeal to people in Germany?
It really is remarkable. I don't understand why that's so popular with everyone. It adds to the commercial appeal of this whole thing, I guess. People can identify it. It's just, this is very goofy fun, but it's exciting. You know, we're out here, we're experiencing it. I guess this is where the masses come. This is where the people get together and party together. And this is the kind of stuff you only see on TV. You know, oh, there's one city, there's the other city. You know, your local news, they play like the fireworks for your city, and then they show all the other cities. So this is like probably the spot that that everybody around the world is going to see when they mention Berlin.
Right.
So we're right here where everybody who's wanting the biggest party in Berlin, everybody is going to be right here. I imagine they'll have some sort of display. There's these spotlights spinning around over the main stage at Brandenburg.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of directing people and moving around to the music, which is kind of cool. I guess that centralizes it. Everybody knows to go where the spotlights are.
We're 6 hours ahead of New York, so it won't be midnight. So it's only 18 minutes after 5 p.m. there. We're 9 hours ahead of Seattle, where you're from.
Yes, so, that's right. Yeah, so it'll be some time before anybody in my hometown is getting ready to celebrate.
2:19 p.m. where you are, or where you were.
Yeah. People are probably stocking up.
Stocking up? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know,
the getting chips and things.
Well, yeah, the chips and the dip and the drinks and the ice. And
the one thing they stock up on here, which you don't stock up on at home, is fireworks.
Yes.
Basically, you go into stores and you buy fireworks, and there's just like a whole supply of them that, you know, the corner newsstand where you buy soda and papers, they just have fireworks. I think from the 28th of December up to the 1st, they're allowed to sell that. And kids are out on the street, and I mean kids, you know, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, just out there lighting off firecrackers and fireworks. And
yeah, we saw a couple right after we had a bite to eat.
Yeah, that's right.
We were heading this way. We wanted to get our fix for a New Year's event here, and we saw these two kids, and they were just having a blast. They're out, you know, putting little firecrackers on this traffic light signal box, and just sort of lighting them on there and running. They're having a blast. They ran into the place where we had food to get matches.
Get matches, yeah.
They ran out.
They ran out of matches. They went into a restaurant.
Yeah.
We have some matches. They got the matches, came back out, lit some more things. Can you imagine that happening in America? That would be on the news if that happened in America.
Yeah.
They're just having fun. It's like not blowing off their hands. It's like tiny firecrackers, no big deal.
Yeah, and they would light them, and they'd get all excited, you know, and watch it. They'd get as close as they could after they light it, and then they'd stop once it was done, and then they would jump and, you know, go to their stash and get another one, light it, stop.
Yeah.
And as soon as it's done, they'd run and go to their stash and get some more firecrackers.
It was so cute. Little tiny fireworks and firecrackers, not very loud, but it was a big thrill for them.
Yeah. And their way of celebrating, you know, they were the only two people on the block at that point, but they made it their fun event for the evening.
Yeah, people walking by, old ladies and dogs and infants, everybody's walking by, well, being carried by if they're an infant, and not particularly being fazed by these kids just lighting little firecrackers up.
Yeah. Really is kind of cool. We also heard
There are the bigger fireworks.
I was going to say.
Yeah, that's something we hear.
We don't want to downplay the capabilities of the Germans, because they go hog, whole hog.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Ape hog, they go.
Yeah, they go ape hog out here.
Sometimes you're walking down the street and all of a sudden there's this massive explosion and people scatter. Usually it's not too close to somebody, but it's scary when that happens. Very, very loud. We might hear something like that tonight.
Yeah, and sometimes in the train station you'll hear a big one go off and people start clapping or celebrating. We heard a little of that. We were like,
woo! Screaming in terror, depending on the crowd.
Yeah, or startled. They'll make a quick squeal because they got a surprise.
Well, we were at Hauptbahnhof before, which is the main train station. We'd hear these giant explosions in the distance and people would start cheering because they weren't anywhere close to where the actual thing was happening, and it was massively loud.
Yeah, that's really, really, really emblematic of the kind of fun that goes on here in Germany. And God, we are really in the thick of it this year. Well, last year, it's been a good year. I mean, last year we kicked it off at a small event at somebody's house, a friend of ours, which was a long tradition for you. And that was kind of fun and intimate. I think this is fun in a different way.
Well, we thought we were going there again tonight.
We did.
We found out only about an hour ago that there's no party at that guy's house. So we sort of, at the last minute, we're on our own. And it was okay because I figured, you know, let's take a look at what's going on here. I didn't think we'd actually stay, just take a look, see all the people, go back on the train. But in fact, we had nowhere to go, so we stayed here. And so far, it's been okay. And you know, it's a little more than half an hour to go.
Yeah.
I think we'll survive. We found this little enclave where there's actually space. There's a lot of urine, but there's space.
Yeah, people are sort of peeing. Although, I think there's less peeing going on right now.
Well, it comes in waves.
Yes, I think we're in a break.
That's an unfortunate term. But
waves of urine. Yes.
It's something. People come, you know, get more beer.
Isn't
back.
That the national anthem in the U.S.? Waves of urine?
Yeah, something like that.
That must have been a draft version of it. Okay. So, at any rate, it's been a big year for you and I. We were reflecting on this earlier. What could we possibly say about this year to sum it up? How would you sum it up in a sentence?
Earth-shattering. Or breathtaking. One of those two.
Yeah.
we've just been through so much, we've seen so much, we've experienced so much, both individually and together.
Yeah.
We've been in all sorts of crazy places in the world. We've had all sorts of crazy things happen to us back home.
We've been at the epicenter of many different things, it seems.
Yeah.
We found ourselves right there in the thick of it in so many ways. Little things and big things. News. Big things for some of the projects that we're involved in, life changes and stuff in the world, things we can't really avoid, and a lot of change, a lot of adapting. We've got new leadership, and you know, a lot of things we hadn't expected, and things going different ways.
A lot of adventure, challenges, fun stuff. In the
are these your friends?
Did you I don't know anybody here. Right. A million people, I have no idea who anything
is. Okay, all right, go ahead. Yeah.
But it was incredible. The whole from the WikiLeaks thing, which we were pretty much involved in many different ways.
Oh my God, were we involved with that? Yeah.
The places that we traveled to and the people we met.
We got swept up in that. I don't think we were.
We didn't plan on
it
that.
It was not by choice. No. I don't think.
No.
It was like
you and me hanging out with Julian Assange in a Croatian restaurant right before we went over to Croatia and all the Yugoslav republics, having a nice conversation with him over dinner, talking about speaking at Hope and various other things. And, well, I mean, we don't have to go into the whole story as to what happened after that. But
we've explained it many
everybody
times.
Everybody on the planet found out, and it's a story that's still going on. It's not going to stop anytime soon.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
And then just going to all these places ourselves and seeing interesting things and meeting more people.
We just did a recap. Bicycle Mark, I guess, has a podcast he's doing, and we did a recap with him the other night. And God, that was really wild. Just
yeah, he wanted to
summing
talk to
it up. He did
for a few minutes, and we wound up talking for an hour.
It was like an hour talking just about our trip.
And that was
to the
quick
former Yugoslavia. Yeah,
that was a quick version. We didn't spend very much time talking about it. The long version is if you listen to Off the Wall and you hear all the hour long shows we did.
Yeah, it's amazing on all these adventures we've been recording things and just to do the production and get it in a form that people can hear and share in the kinds of wild stuff we've been doing. It takes a while. It's amazing. It's kind of cool, though, that you know, we're finally getting a lot of that stuff out there.
It just goes to show it, there's always excitement to be had. There's always adventures to partake in, new things to do, new projects to start. You might think that, you know, everything has been done, everything has been said, there's no opportunities to do new things. But as long as there are new people around, as long as there are old people with new ideas, as long as there is a world to explore, we're going to have some fun things to do and talk about and
just
inspire people with.
Yeah, and just being able to put our heads together, I think, is where a lot of that can come from in unexpected ways. That's the great stuff. You know, just putting our heads together, it's amazing. How inspiring, just motivated between the two of us and other people get kind of motivated and they that energy is reciprocated in really cool ways. That was very evident at Hope. You know, that was just a month or two later. In July, last you know, the middle of the summer, we put on the Hope Conference yet again, and this was the first time I was doing kind of helping coordinate, helping with a lot of the volunteers, doing whatever I could, whether it was mate sale or anything. I was speaking. I spoke at a conference. I've never spoke at a conference about anything before. So just a lot of unexpected opportunities, but that was challenges in that too, and that was different for me, but I rose to that, and boy, I learned a lot, and got to share a lot, and spend time with a lot of people, and help you out, and keep things going, keep that project alive, because I really benefit from it the two previous times I had been to Hope, and this time I think it was just really, really cool to see it thrive and help make it flourish and be the event, you know, the awesome event that it is and has been. So
that's how the projects. How many people are walking by us now? So 50 people just walk by.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
That's how the projects thrive. Is more people getting involved, more people opening up doors and just experiencing things for the first time. That you need that movement, otherwise things stagnate. Otherwise, you just have the same people doing the same thing. It gets boring. You get new people in there with new ideas, new ways of doing things, and you have movement. You have something that's fluid and that is different every time. And that's what we're after for the whole project, for 2600, for Off the Wall, Off the Hook. You just always want to be doing something different, new, creative, and we need people to do that, people to think differently. And yeah, that's I think you personify that quite well.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to. And we're already talking about the Hope Number 9.
Hope Number 9.
We're already talking about it. You and I are just bouncing ideas. I think that's one thing you and I have a lot of fun with, especially when we're off on adventures like this.
Yeah, a couple of drinks. You know, come with some really, we had a really good idea tonight. I forgot what it was, but I know we had a good idea about the conference. And I think the idea was we should bring a pencil next time we talk about this and write down what it is we think about. But yeah,
that's a good idea. We should write that down.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to do that somehow.
Wow.
But we have all kinds of interesting thoughts, and it's going to be a cool conference. But there's all kinds of things coming up this year too. 2011.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to even to plan things that far ahead anyway. But just coming off of the adventure here, it's hard to. Oh man, there's a whole bunch of police walking by. They're wearing green uniforms.
Why don't I even see them? I see cops.
They're camouflage.
I see people in suits and ties. Okay, I must do this. Next time you see cops, let me know.
All right, I will.
I just like to know when cops are coming.
Yeah, the fuzz. We'll keep our eye out for the fuzz. But yeah, excuse me. Oh man, people smoking right behind us. It's just been a real inspiration to have completed a project like Hope, and then half a year later, now we're talking about it, especially because we're fresh off the CCC Congress. That always gives us a little bit of a jump, hop in our step.
Good,
I know it did last
year. Stomach to keep going.
Yeah, good punch in the stomach. Yeah, sucker punch. And but we're talking about all kinds of other stuff. And the God, what else did we do? What happened after Hope? Man, I know I was away for a little bit. And
you went over to another mini camp.
I did.
Europe and came back.
Yes.
And we did more stuff. And then you came back again. We went up to Canada.
Yeah.
For Canada a little bit.
Oh yeah. And that was, there's some cool stuff. Spending time on the East Coast in Canada was really, really interesting. Excuse me. Getting the smart car worked on kind of gave me a little inspiration on some other projects involving freedom of speech and what some other people are doing with the DMCA and research on that kind of stuff, which is sort of apropos for some of the troubles you were having with the smart car.
This was not a good year for the smart car. I'll tell you that right now. It kept breaking down, and the computer went out of that was Dynaplus plus blowing up. Is
no,
that
that's Auckland, New Zealand.
Oh, New Zealand. Okay.
Yeah.
They have a TV tower too.
And Sydney, they're showing us.
Right.
The clock is saying 23:32.
28 minutes to go.
Okay, and I gotta just look at this.
Why don't you write the disc on that thing?
Are you sure?
Well, yeah, then you can start a new one.
All right, I do want to say
none of it recorded too, which is fine because it was a good conversation.
But yeah, it was a good conversation.
Never used this device before.
Yeah, we are talking. Should we say what we're recording on?
No, you can say that. Sure.
Yeah, we're recording on a BlackBerry telephone. Kind of interesting.
Hopefully we're not making a phone call while we're doing it.
Yeah, hopefully this isn't a phone call, but I'm just going to write this and we'll pick up in 1 or 2 minutes. So we'll be right back.
The erase key you're holding.
Oh, God. All right, here we go.
And while the file is being written, let's just say that you're listening to Off the Wall, taped in Berlin on New Year's Eve. And now, let's return.
Okay. Yeah, well, so yes, it's been 1 minute. We're now at 23:34.
You know what I like? When we walked into this whole area, they gave us a free drink.
Yeah, it was some sort of energy drink or something.
Yeah,
a little
like
shot.
Energy. Maybe it was a sponsor or something like that, but these nice people with little like cocktail table things, like holding them out, like cocktail waitresses, and they say, here, have a drink.
Yeah.
It definitely was a nice welcome.
Well, yeah, for the mild frisking and bag searching, it was sort of a nice consolation.
I wouldn't go so far as to say it's bag searching. It's just bag looking at, sort of. They opened it up, said, okay,
you sort of just looked at it, yeah.
No packages labeled TNT or Acme Bomb in there.
Right, yeah. He wasn't too interested in the Uzi that I brought in.
Yeah, in fact, the second time, you didn't even get frisked at all.
No, I didn't get frisked.
I'm the one who got frisked and knocked over the beer.
Right. Good God.
Well, there are more people urinating here, and also just more people who have found this area, which is open. but we still have a lot of space.
Yeah.
I could do a full dance number here, and I wouldn't knock over anybody over.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is less cramped. If we're out in the middle, plus the snow is all slushy and nasty out there, so.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
Some people
just like to push.
Yeah, they just like to walk by. There's plenty of space, and the guy's got to run into me. They're doing We Will Rock You.
Want to come back here and talk about it? Because we can do that. No? All right, they continue to walk.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Our trip to Canada was really cool.
Oh, yeah, Canada.
Yeah, I don't know. It was neat. Lots of
We went to
inspiration. And
Montreal. We went to Quebec. We went to Toronto. We went to Moose Jaw. We went to Ottawa.
And Telephone Road.
We didn't go to Moose Jaw.
Oh, you're right.
I was testing you, and you weren't paying any attention.
Yeah, well, how do people know we went to Telephone
just
Road?
For that,
you could have just told them.
Just for that, we have to go to Moose Jaw. We did talk about Telephone Road. In fact, in a show that aired in January, we gave very particular information as to where on Telephone Road we were.
Right.
That people, listeners, can go and relive the journey by going back to that exact intersection and doing what we did.
Right.
And there are people who do that. There are devoted listeners that trace our roots and sort of plant little markers and things like that. It's sort of like a pilgrimage.
Well, hey, I used to do that.
It's not obsession. It's fine.
I actually did such a thing before I was even involved with any of the radio and stuff. I made a pilgrimage out to the East Coast. Actually, my sister lived out in the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and checked out Stony Brook.
You actually went to the radio station, didn't you?
I did. Because I don't know. I wanted to ride the train. I knew that it was a big university. I brought my camera. I'm a photographer. I went and just said, hey, I'll photograph it. This is the radio station where Off the Wall is broadcast from. What a cool thing. And so I did. And I kind of felt a little crazy, but at the same time, I was like, no, this is cool. I can go and check out where Off the Wall happens. This is a school. By all means, you know, check it out.
And for me, for somebody from Seattle to come all the way to Stony Brook to check out where Off the Wall comes from, that's a real compliment right there. Of course, you were already in the area, your sister lived in the area, but still, it's a compliment to have somebody take that kind of an interest in a radio show, radio station.
Well, I wanted to try my hand at the trains, I was either that or sitting in my sister's apartment.
And you tried taking the Long Island Railroad at 5. That's awesome.
I did. So, yeah, maybe they'll retrace our steps to the Telephone Road. What did we do after that? I know I went on a little bit of a road trip. I visited a bunch of hackerspaces in November.
Mm-hmm.
Canada
was October, so November.
Sure.
You did that.
Yes. And then, that brings us right into Thanksgiving. We had
two Thanksgivings.
We had Canadian Thanksgiving
in October.
Right.
And then we had American Thanksgiving. Well, we each had our separate Thanksgivings.
Right.
In our various parts of the world.
Right.
And, yeah, it's the first time I've ever had two.
Yeah, we made out. We were in a bar and they had a Thanksgiving special.
That was kind of cool.
It was cool.
It's less patriotic and more just thankful up in Canada.
Right, and it's a similar meal, but it was good. It was really kind of cool to appreciate that. I don't think we appreciate enough of Canada. We're so closed off and yet so close to them.
Well, Canada's an amazing place because there are so many different parts of it, and they're all so different. Like, you saw Quebec, you also saw Toronto. It's like two different countries. You know, they speak different languages, different cultures.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, Vancouver is different. At Moose Jaw, if you ever see that, is completely different with native culture. The Maritimes on the East Coast are very different, too. I like that kind of diversity. I'm not big into melting pot. I'm more into patchwork quilt. And that's what Canada seems to be a lot more of.
Well put.
Thank you.
So, yeah, you know, November brings us right into, dare I say, our recent trip to Scandinavia. And is actually this month, December. We were
Well, not much longer, only for about 20 more minutes, but it's January.
Well, hurry up. 21 minutes, actually, I think.
And I hear rumors that we're going to Switzerland, which...
We are.
That's going to be interesting.
We are.
And
yeah.
I might even go to a country I've never been to in my life before. That would be Liechtenstein.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. We got the 411. We got the scoop.
It's about the size of the space we're standing on now, but
yes.
It's still a country. And I've been to a lot of micro countries.
Right.
I've been to San Marino, I've been to Andorra, I've been to Monaco. I think that's, well, Luxembourg is a bit bigger than that. But those are all the small countries in Europe. Liechtenstein is the only one I haven't been to.
Oh, wow.
And
but you got some info from somebody about how exactly we might be able to get there.
Yeah, by train.
Vis-a-vis Switzerland.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Watch out. We got a patient coming through.
It's a part of Switzerland, sort of.
Watch out.
Yeah.
Wow. He's had a bit too much.
He's had a bit too much, and they're directing him over towards the urinary.
Those are good friends.
Yeah. He might already be urinating.
He's semi-conscious and being escorted.
Yeah, they're having a lot of fun with him. But
he's sliding. He's got the drunk legs.
I'm not sure what they're going to do with him when they get to the fence.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. Maybe he's going to...
they're going to impale him. I see.
No.
I see where they're going with this.
No,
they're
going to help him pee. You know, those are good friends.
I don't know how much they're going to help him
in
pee.
In the States, your guy friends would sort of let you pee yourself.
All right, but they're not, let's be clear, they're just leaning him against the fence. They're letting all the other technical stuff. They're being quite helpful.
Oh, stop. They're not doing that. They're not doing that.
You gotta see where his other hand is.
That's really, but that's the kind of thing, in the States, you wouldn't see as much. I mean, I guess you see people caring for each other, but that guy's really wasted.
Yeah, well, you don't see that many really wasted people on the street without a whole lot of attention given to them.
Right. And his friends, they're taking care of him. Yeah, it's New Year's. They're not just letting him fall over somewhere. They're in it together. I don't know. That's kind of sweet. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Nice.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of paramedics and people here.
You're right. Yeah, we did. We saw the Red Cross. The German Red Cross is here. And as we noted earlier, quite a few police, although we'd never been in this area. We've always seen the aftermath and whatnot. But there's a lot of police here. We saw a lot of police at Alexanderplatz.
Right. We were in a different section where we were last year, and there weren't as many police there last year. Of course, there have been threats of various sorts, at least alleged threats that we've heard about.
Right.
So maybe they're out in force for that.
Right.
Everybody I speak to back home is really kind of like taken aback that I'm over here because it's so dangerous. And it's incredible to think of it that way, because you hear these reports on TV about unsubstantiated reports of something that might happen someplace that they won't tell any details. That is equivalent to being in a war zone, apparently.
Yeah.
It's nothing like that at all. It's just like anywhere else.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll talk about it, but should we say anything about Scandinavia so far? What was your favorite part so far?
Favorite part of Scandinavia. There were so many different favorite parts. I mean, I love being in Tromsø, where it was just such a mysterious place. It was dark most of the time. It got light, but no sun. The sun never came above the horizon. But people still were out all the time. They were out at night. They were out in the twilightish type of day, just doing their thing. It was an active place. Just very unusual. It's kind of like the northernmost city in the world, I think, where there's so much activity. But then I really like Stockholm too. Stockholm had this really peaceful feel to it. Again, everywhere we've been has been snow covered and icy and cold. Copenhagen too.
Yeah.
And up until today, Berlin. I think this was the first day it went above freezing in our whole trip.
There's
something about every single part we've been in that I really like. And, of course, the ways that we got from one place to another, the overnight train to Stockholm from Tromsø.
That was fun.
I think that was your first sleeper experience.
Yeah, of that kind. It was really, really cool to be in a sleeper car and travel that way. And it was just amazing. We traveled the entire length of Sweden. And just by sleeping, I guess we slept through, like an hour, 2 hour delay or something, and then just woke up, and it was just so surreal to look out and see all the snow and we were up for maybe a couple more hours as we approached Sweden or Stockholm.
Yeah, Stockholm
in
actually,
Sweden.
It's not the entire length, because Stockholm is up there quite a bit. We had to still go further down to get to Malmo later on. We were on our way to Copenhagen.
Right.
And that was another, I think, 5 hours on the train after that.
Yeah.
But that was another day. And then, of course, I also enjoyed the train from Denmark to Hamburg, which is a train that gets on a boat.
Right.
Literally, it's I think a four-car train. This one was run by Deutsche Bahn, the German rail company, in cooperation with DSB, the
sure.
Danish rail people.
Sure.
Last time I did this, it was the Danish rail train, but apparently now they have German trains in addition. I mean, you saw it for the first time, a train approaching a boat and then slowing down and then getting on the boat and, of course, stopping the boat, taking a 45-minute voyage across, and then arriving in Germany where the train then again carefully gets off the boat and back onto the rail.
Yeah.
I don't know how they pull it off. I don't know how they do that. It's awesome, though.
And that was cool.
It's an experience everyone should have at least once.
And just getting the everything squared away. I mean, we've had a lot of trouble with logistics this year.
Yeah.
I think it's because we don't have the fresh train book. It's a whole other story. We'll get into that, I'm sure, at some point.
Somebody messed up, okay?
Somebody messed up, yeah.
Thomas Cook and the people in the Royal Mail or somebody. I didn't get my train book in time, so I didn't have up-to-date information. And I had to go on a website to book the train tickets, and the website didn't give me all the information I needed, such as, is this train taking the boat or is this train taking the land route?
Yep.
And so I wound up with the wrong ticket. I had to try and get the right ticket, but I wound up buying the same ticket twice. It was the only way I could do it.
Well, but it's paid off. You know, we've been flexible. We've been able to do everything we want to do. Sometimes not the way we had planned, not the way we anticipated, but it's been worth it.
Everything from the volcano.
Really cool. Yeah, exactly.
In the spring, that we were originally going to fly into Germany and take a train down to Slovenia, but because of the volcano, well, we couldn't take that plane. It was canceled. So
yeah.
We took a different flight plan and flew directly into Croatia.
Yeah.
That gave us more time in the former Yugoslavia.
Right.
Resulted in a better trip. So we basically took lemons and made like a nice mixed drink out of it.
A nice winter mate.
Absolutely.
Winter edition.
You want to talk about that? We've had the winter edition of Club Mate.
Oh, that's been great. It's actually it's been a highlight to walk into a store and buy some winter mate.
You can walk into a store and buy Club Mate, but you can also walk into a store and buy what's known as a winter edition of Club Mate.
Yeah.
How would you describe the difference?
It's got a little bit of a citrus taste, and it's spiced with cinnamon and cardamom.
I don't even know what cardamom is. What is that?
It's a spice.
Is it? Okay.
You're
good with the spices.
It is.
You're walking
a spice
rack.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, let's walk over here this way.
There's urine over there.
By the way, there's 13 minutes to go. Okay. I'm watching the clock. And
right.
Sorry, we just sidestepped a little bit.
Okay.
I feel like we're
still
sliding
out of it there. But now he's facing our way.
Yeah, they're still helping him out. Yeah, I felt like we were sliding this way into the street where all the muck is. I really don't want to be in the muck.
Yeah, there's a lot of muck in there.
There's a lot of muck.
There could be a lot of muck afterwards.
That's right.
Right now, I told you time would go very fast, and it has.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. 13 minutes to go, and you can hear fireworks all around us. But no fireworks really inside this section with all the people. And I'm kind of happy about that because explosions can sort of distract you a bit. This seems to be sort of a safe zone where we're all watching the big screen and Brandenburg Gate up ahead.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen at midnight. I don't know if there's like professional fireworks that go off or there's just a lot of screaming and drinking. Champagne bottles perhaps popping. That's the kind of thing you do in Europe. You bring out a champagne bottle. Although they didn't allow any glass in here, so
yeah.
Maybe there won't be any champagne. But in the streets of Amsterdam, for instance, everybody's got champagne. They open it, you drink with your friends and complete strangers. And that's the way to welcome a new year, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely definitely how it's done. We'll see. This is actually a little bit of a change.
It's also the way
different.
You celebrate Obama being elected in New York City. In the year 2008, when that happened, that was a unique experience. Sometimes it happens in the States when you least expect it.
Yeah. Anything's possible, I guess. So, what are you anticipating for 2011?
I don't know. Hopefully, a lot more adventure and fun and innovative new things for us. For the world, I don't know. I really hope that we get over all the economic issues, because I'm kind of sick of talking about them and complaining about them.
Yeah,
I'd like to see more unity, more people just kind of bridging gaps. Maybe the Korea situation will get better, because conflict sometimes leads to things being resolved.
Understanding, yeah.
Yeah. You know, in the States, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to move even further to the right in the States. That would be a bit unfortunate, I think, because we really need to try some new things out, and it just seems like we keep swerving right back into the same old mistakes. And I just think we need change. We need a lot more change. We need to be a lot more aggressive with the change that we make, not tentative, and not apologetic for it.
Right, and create the world that we want.
Yeah, so we have to do that on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
And then expand it. But I think when you try to do too much of it at once, or try to encompass too much of the entire country, it's harder to do, a lot harder to do.
Right.
But if, say, certain parts of the country do something different, and we see that it works in other parts of the country, I'd like to see more, high-speed rail, obviously, start getting implemented. I keep hearing talk about it. I don't really see any action. And when we travel here in Europe, it's like such an embarrassment to think of back home. We were on a diesel train, the one that went on the boat. That thing was flying. It was going really fast.
And he was driving it just like a car.
He was.
It was really funny.
We were able to walk right up front and watch him drive. And in fact, he even left at one point, not while it was moving, but when we were at a station, he walked out to, I don't know, get a beer or something. But he didn't get a beer. But he walked out, and we could have walked right up to the train. I don't think we could have driven it. But, it's like people are a bit less fixated on what could happen. And I think as a result of that, less things actually do happen because people are constantly thinking, oh my God, this person could do this if we leave the store open.
Yeah,
people aren't telling you as much, don't go there, don't do this. It's more. But my point about the diesel train was that thing was flying, and on Long Island where I live and where you visited, we have a diesel train that goes 30 miles an hour. That's the maximum speed it seems to be able to go. It's embarrassing. We can do better than this.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about this and the other night. We were on a streaming radio show.
Oh, yeah.
Which seems pretty chic these days in the hacker community. We did have a wonderful time at the CCC Congress, and after that, we were on a streaming radio show, and it came up, and I think some interesting points are raised about fear and how that sells. I think our friend Mitch Altman brought that up, and it's a good point. We if we're afraid, we're afraid of high-speed trains. We're afraid of the economy, and all this uncertainty keeps us watching media, and that keeps us buying things because we're being advertised to. And I thought that was a really astute observation, and brought back some memories of some of the education I've had in studying the media. And I don't know, I just really hope people do more thinking and use the tools they've got and collaborate I don't know, tackle some of these projects and not just blindly sort of follow things along and whine and complain when things are the same because they've done that. A lot of action, I think, is necessary. I really just wanted to add that, I don't know, as a compliment to what you're saying.
Well, there's one thing that the hacker world has, I think, taught both of us, and that's that you can just keep trying to do new things and start new projects, and there will be people there to support you and encourage you, no matter what.
Yeah.
You can try and fail, you can try and succeed, or you can just keep searching for something different.
And if you keep affecting the things that you can actually do something to, I mean, that's what was one of the things I really got. That's why I was so inspired by Hacking at Random. Is that's how I do a lot of my projects. Is like if something's not working, I move to the other thing that I'm doing.
Right.
And the other thing, and wherever I can act, wherever I can actually affect my projects, that's where I'm at. And I keep my attention focused on things. And when something's going to take time, I say, okay, I'm smart enough to move on and do something else. And that's how I spend my time. And I think that was something that Mitch was saying with the media. It's like, we don't have much time. Why sit in front of a TV, and get branded to and that kind of thing? Or have the government tell you that we need to be fearful of people getting on planes and all this kind of stuff. Stop that and really do the things that you want to do in your life, that kind of like what you do, projects, writing, talking, traveling. Keep that up and kind of ignore that stuff because it's ready-made for people that aren't in action. So, yeah, that's something I've really gotten from this year because we've talked about this. You can always look at things in a bad way, but it's really not going to get you to a more positive space. If you're optimistic and you trudge through that, yeah, there's downtime, but you trudge through that and you try to keep on the bright side. And don't sugarcoat it,
right?
With your friends, and I've leaned on you a little bit, and you've
hopefully, I think, done likewise, or at least been able to count on me for some kind words here and there. And I think we stick together, we keep sharing, we tell each other, be honest with ourselves and each other, and keep trudging on, keep doing new things.
Trudging sounds so solemn, you know. Maybe marching is a little too...
Prancing,
I like prancing. Skipping or something like that.
We have 5 minutes, by the way.
5 minutes to go before 2011. You can't be foolish and just always see the bright side of things. You got to see the bad. You got to see the misery. You have to note this and pay attention and tell people about it. But it doesn't mean you can't have an optimistic outlook while looking at the bad things. You cannot, if you assume things are going to go sour no matter what, they will. They will definitely. And that's part of what the whole argument I got into when Obama got elected. There are people who are saying, oh, is this going to be the same? Nothing's going to change.
Right.
And you know, I was like, why? Why? You have plenty of time to be miserable.
Right.
And yeah, maybe it will go this way. And certainly there are a lot of things we can point to now to back that up. But isn't there power that can come from being happy, from being inspired to do something else? And
right.
I think if more people had done that, I don't think we'd be in the shape we're in today. I think that's one of the reasons why we can't move ahead, is because people assume that we can't move ahead, and that's always going to be the same thing. If people spoke loudly, and this is something the Tea Party has taught us, no matter what they say, people are going to listen and move in a particular direction. If enough people did that on the other side, we'd be moving in a different direction.
Right.
That's what they got to do. They got to stand up and be loud.
And it's not the easy way.
No, not at all.
It's not the easy way to be loud. And but
you're always taught that you're wrong. You're always taught that you have no power, that you have to listen to the people in charge. And it's, no, you make your own way, and you'll find incredible things can be accomplished.
All right.
Less than 4 minutes to go.
We are looking at 4 minutes, my friend.
And we still have a lot of space here, so this is cool.
Yeah.
This looks like inside. Right? Oh, wow. It's really packed to the gills there.
Yeah, it's pretty crowded in there.
But people look happy, though, and I think once this happens, you've never actually been in a crowd like this for New Year's, have you?
Not really.
Well, in New York, there's a lot of cheering and jumping up and down. I think there's professional fireworks that go off.
Yeah.
But here, I don't know what's going to happen. There might be some beer flying in the air. I don't know, champagne bottles will pop. There might be some hugging of strangers. Who knows? I'm sure there'll be fireworks all over the damn city, both professional and amateur.
Yeah. Here we go. We got people in dress clothes on the screen with microphones. They look like announcer types. The drum kit has been pushed away. I think they're getting ready for some sort of finale. I think
move a little bit to the left.
Talk.
We can see Brandenburg Gate a little bit. Huh?
All right. We're walking a little closer.
I see a little bit of the gate there.
Yeah, there is the gate. Yep.
There's a guy with a huge parka in front of me, though, so I can't see past.
All right. I'll move over a little bit.
There we go.
Yeah, we got a little bit of a view of the gate. It's behind this big screen truck.
Yes.
And
we must have about just over 2 minutes to go.
Yeah, I'd say we're at the 2 minute mark.
Do you think people count down in German?
I don't know. I don't know German.
I don't know how to do that.
I don't know. They're shaking hands with somebody. And
well, they're saying get off the stage now because it's time to do some kind of a countdown.
Yes. Wow. And I guess we'll continue to.
We've run out of things to say. There's really nothing more at this point, so...
Well, here we are. We're at the end of 2010.
Oh, okay. I guess we should stay on for a minute more.
Right.
The end of the year, fine.
No, we're recording. You know, we should...
It seems like we run out of things to say.
No. I mean, well, that's how the end of the year is.
We've said everything that could be said.
I think we've said everything, and we'll probably say completely different things after the new year.
It's going mad in the east. I can see past Brandenburg Gate. There's all kinds of fireworks over there.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it's New Year's there before it's New Year's here. It comes from east to west.
Maybe.
So it's already 2011 to the east of Brandenburg Gate. Soon it will be here.
All right, you're full of it.
Can you imagine, time does work that way, but can you imagine if we kept time that way?
Yeah.
That would be something else.
Yeah, well, we don't, thankfully.
You know, you might see us in that crowd there. They keep focusing on the crowd on the big screen. But
yeah, not quite so sure about that.
Floating in the sky.
That's a condom.
That's a big condom floating in the sky. All right.
Here we go. They're counting.
Right next to professional fireworks, apparently.
Wow.
I wasn't expecting this.
Happy New Year, E!
Happy New Year.
This is Rizzo. Hey, this is awesome. So, yeah, here it is. Happy New Year.
Wow.
So we ended up in a great spot. There's,
we sure did. We're right next to the fireworks. It's the only fireworks here.
Oh my God.
They must be right from the Tier Garden. They must have set them up in there.
Yeah, I think there's a pond in there, so maybe that's safe or something. Wow.
Well, not for the geese and ducks that are there, but...
No.
Have you ever seen professional fireworks this close up?
You know, I don't know. I don't think so. We are right under it.
Yeah, we really are.
That's something amazing, man.
We just seem to fall into this, you know?
Yeah. Well, here we are.
Just
right.
To walk up here, stop where the urine was. Oh, and there's also fireworks up by Brandenburg Gate.
Yeah, some.
I don't know. What is that floating away in the sky?
I think it's a burning lantern.
A burning lantern of some sort. I don't know if that's traditional or if it's catastrophe.
I think it's improvised.
And there's more fireworks over there to the left.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Of course, there's fireworks behind us as well. And,
yes.
And fireworks everywhere in the damn city.
Berlin seems to be lighting up with fireworks.
One giant firework.
Oh, that poor bird.
That poor bird. Just saw a bird trying to get the hell out of here.
I was so confused.
Like flying all different directions. What the hell is going on here?
That's terrible.
You know, we don't think of the birds sleeping
in
the trees.
We really don't think of the birds.
Oh, that was sad.
He's a little distraught. All right, well, let's go. I've seen enough.
Yeah. It's not often that we report on fireworks on the radio. We did, I remember once back in the Voice of Long Island days.
Yeah.
We broadcast something, live fireworks at Stony Brook.
Okay.
And I think Mike Uhas was reporting on it. He would just say, blue, red, green, orange.
Yeah, orange.
And that's
red.
Yeah.
Orange.
There's only so much you can do on radio.
Why? So, did I mention I have asthma?
No, but this is a good time to mention that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's undiagnosed, but...
I have fireworks disorder. But you know what? I think it just ended.
That's it.
There's no more.
Oh, maybe not. Jeez.
Now the crowd responds.
There's
a retort from the crowd.
Oh, and the laser show. The laser show.
Laser show?
The laser show,
Where's
my friend.
Oh, look at that. Laser's up in the air.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can't forget the laser show.
Here, 747, so what's that?
Yes. These are green lasers.
Well, they're not the kind you want pointing at 747s.
Quite popular with the hackers.
Wow.
All right. Can we see an actual laser show? I mean...
Maybe.
They're just
wanting to see one for a while.
I know. I wanted to see one. They didn't do one at CCC this year, but... That's not a laser. Come on.
I think it's just green light.
Oh, they're starting. Yeah. Yeah, maybe they're just green lights. No.
The guy singing on screen. I have no idea what he's singing.
Those are lasers, dude.
Maybe that's a German national anthem.
Yeah, I think...
Or maybe it's Country Road again.
No, it's...
Was he an opera singer?
Yeah.
That's Luciano Pavarotti Jr.
Yeah, those are lasers. Pretty cool, though.
Those are lasers. Oh, wow. They're really...
Look how far out they go.
They go all the way to the moon.
That's pretty neat, watching it from that angle.
Yeah. You see that, listeners? It basically goes all the way to...
The Ferris wheel.
Well, beyond the Ferris wheel. But
yes.
It seems to stop in sort of a, I don't know, a point of light.
Yeah.
But obviously, yes.
I'm hit! Oh,
somebody a firecracker right near us.
Oh.
All right.
Thank God.
As Kyle collapses to the floor, I'm going to take the BlackBerry and continue.
I'm just
recording.
Kidding. I'm messing with you.
All right, so I don't have to take the BlackBerry then. That's a relief.
No. Okay. You do need a new phone, you know. I think that's something you should get in 2011.
I am going to get a new phone in 2011, that's for sure.
Oh.
I might get a, if this works well, I might get a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
I wonder who this is because I think he's famous. He's singing some kind of opera. And
Yeah, it's very spirited.
And he's fat, so he must be one of those good opera singers.
Yeah, I can't see his neck.
I've never really heard a thin opera singer. That
lasers could be doing more.
Well, they're pointing out.
They're lasing. They're definitely lasing. For all of my friends who work in photonics, I can verify that they are lasing.
Let me point out the fireworks are starting again.
Yes.
Here.
There are more fireworks at Brandenburg Gate.
Wow.
And
second
more,
round.
Yeah.
The second wave has begun.
Yeah, what is that, double dip?
I guess this guy finishing the song was a big event, too. He looks
all right.
Very happy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The lasers have stopped lasing. We're back to the searchlights. He's being escorted off the stage.
I realize on TV it looks like everything's synchronized. But
they've gotten him. They've taken him into custody. Apparently he wasn't allowed to be singing.
Oh, he was somebody from the crowd.
He just got up and started singing.
You can't do that.
Yeah, that's pretty rude. All right.
Here's the fireworks.
Now David Hasselhoff is on stage.
That's not David Hasselhoff, is it?
Well, yeah.
I don't know who he is.
David Hasselhoff.
Oh,
man.
Someone bouncing around in a long black coat. Is he German?
Hasselhoff is German.
Okay. I didn't know he was that German.
He's very big in Germany.
He's very big on that screen. It's huge.
It really looks like David Hasselhoff. Maybe it is. The world may never know.
Well, no, I think he's a listener, so he'll let us know.
Yeah. David Hasselhoff, please tell us where you were.
So many fireworks.
Yes.
Well, considering we arrived here shortly before 11 o'clock, I stood here for just over an hour, and it's not that cold out. I think it was worth coming here.
My feet are frozen.
Are they really frozen? Because it's not that cold out.
I'm getting cold.
Well, we've been out in the real cold.
Right.
Minus 20 Celsius or more, and you have to stop every now and then and go somewhere warm. But we've been able to stand out here without suffering too much.
No, it's not. It's an observation. I have some wet, cold feet now.
And I'm sorry about that. You stepped in some water. I had boots and you had sneakers.
Well, I think I would have had this problem either way. But, wow. Red! Purple! Red! Blue! Pink! Violet!
No, that's
pink! Pink!
Red! No, we
red!
What the hell,
red.
Man? You're screwing up the whole thing!
Alright, blue!
Red!
Red.
That was blue. And that was red.
Whoa.
White?
White.
Why don't you mention the white?
Green! Purple! Oh. Blue! Oh. Pink!
What are you talking about?
Green! Blue with streaming white
and yellow. Did you not see the
yellow? Orange. No, those are ashes.
Red turned
blue, green. Oh man,
black.
Wait a minute. There was no black. You can't
Why
see
are
black.
There are no black fireworks.
Whoa! Look at Brandenburg Gate. There's a big sparkly. Wow.
They're broken out.
Black.
In Berlin, maybe.
Yeah.
Berlin's getting a better show than West Berlin right now.
Wow. Okay, the lasers are lasing once again. And, wow. What a party. Oh, wow. Whoa, yeah.
How long do they keep this up for? How long do they stay on stage? At some point, people are going to get tired of this and want to do something else. There's already more space opening up here. I guess people are probably now, slowly.
What do you think, Gee?
I think this is awesome. This is Berlin does it all night long. The amateur fireworks are going to be going off.
We're
walking back later. We're going to be dealing with that. People blowing up M80s on the subway.
Yeah.
Stupid stuff.
Kid with a sparkler.
We got kids holding sparklers next door. That's safe.
Dangerous.
No, that's safe. That's safe. Unless it's something.
Oh, God. A big one.
No.
What is he lighting?
You lit off some explosives before.
Yeah, I
think you need to tell people about that.
I found some on the sidewalk, little ones, and they were going to go to waste. They were getting wet, so I adopted them. I put them in my pocket and...
And then what did you do?
Dried them out, and then I was able to light them.
I didn't do anything.
We gotta be careful, E.
It's done. Let me go look at it.
No, don't.
I think, should we get in defensive mode, or...
I think we should stand over by the urine fence and wait for people to walk by us.
All right.
And then they can walk towards Brandenburg Gate, which is the exact opposite of what most people are doing. There'll be more space.
All right.
It'll be a more mellow atmosphere, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let people walk by, and we can pick up any remaining beers if people leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good cheap night out.
Yeah. Okay.
Plus, you know, they're doing a dance number now. They might light off more fireworks after that.
Yeah.
But we can sign off now.
Yeah, this has been really cool.
I hope it recorded.
Yeah, I hope
even if it didn't, it's been wonderful talking about all this.
And it's good practice.
It is good practice.
Good practice.
I don't think we need to practice.
No.
So much already.
All right, signing off from Berlin. Let's get 2011 going.
Hallelujah.
Hey kids, Finn with you. Finn's Revolution right here on WUSB Stony Brook until the 9 p.m. hour. We're squeaking in this window that's a lull in the basketball schedule this time of year, and we're going to bring you some music all night. As little talk as I possibly can, except giving you stuff. So stay tuned.
So far, we danced around with Borealis, We're space trucking round the stars. Come on! Come on! Come on, let's go space trucking. Come on! Come on! Come on, let's go space trucking. Remember when we did the moonshot and Pony Trekker led the way? We'd move to the Canaveral moon stop when every knot would dance and sway. We got music in our solar system. We're space trucking around the stars. Come on! Come on! Come on, let's go space trucking. Come on! Come on! Come on, let's go space trucking. Fireball we rode was moving, but now we got a new machine. Yeah, 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 yeah! The freak said, man, those cats can really swing. They got music in their solar system. They rock round the Milky Way. They dance round the Borealis. They're space trucking every day. Come on! Come on! Come on! Space trucking, come on!
$100 bill for little Albert to suit her clothes for. He's my man, my gambling man. Frankie went down to the bar room, she ordered up a glass of beer. Said she to the bartender, is my little Albert here? For he's my man, my gambling man. Not gonna tell you any, Frankie. Not gonna tell you no lie. He left here just about a moment ago with a girl called Alice Fry, for he's your man, your gambling man. Frankie went out a-walking, she did not go far from, for under her apron she had concealed a 44 Gatling gun, gonna murder the man that done me wrong. Please don't murder me, Frankie, please don't murder me now. For I love you, indeed I do, and I know my love is true, but I'm the man that done you wrong. Turn me over, Frankie, turn me over slow, but please don't touch my wounded side, my heart will overflow, but I'm the man that done you wrong.